money. And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. Good morning, y'all out there. I'm glad you're listening. Today, I want you to call in and ask the weirdest questions that you can ask of Gary Thornton. Gary Thornton is the owner extraordinaire of Crown Foundation and Concrete Raising. And there's a lot of concrete raising and foundation work in Oklahoma. You might not know where to start. Like, do I need to call somebody? And we're going to talk about the different types of foundations and the different types of peering of those foundations and whether or not you need it. Good morning, Mark Carr.
Good morning, Becky Ivins.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Always good to be with you on these.
Oh, well, thank you. We have a good time. We learn a little bit every now and then, don't we?
We do. And I think today's going to be one of those days. I have my pen out, my paper ready hear.
Have you been here when Gary's here before?
No.
Oh, you
I have
learn.
Not.
You
yeah.
will learn.
Yep.
Gary's a wealth of knowledge when it comes to, a lot of things, actually. But but today we will be talking about the business. And, Gary, how long have you owned your business?
This is the 46th year.
46th year. You started first grade?
I was probably in the first grade.
Yeah.
I was small then.
Because you couldn't possibly be old enough to be in business 46 years.
Well, you're right. I was quite young.
Okay. Well, I will tell you, with age, hopefully comes some wisdom. And we're right.
I guess. I got to tell you something. You got time to hear it?
I do. Go
well,
for it.
I went to the doctor the other day to get a facelift.
Oh.
And I want to know how much it cost. And he said it was like $10,000. And I thought, $10,000. I said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to go home. I'll think about it. And I started to walk out to the doctor's office. And I saw a mirror. And I looked in the mirror. And I was wearing my mask like I'm supposed to. And I thought, I don't need a full facelift.
Oh.
If I just get it from the bridge of my nose to my hairline, I'll wear my mask and no one will ever know.
That's true, right?
And my dating has really improved.
Half off.
Yeah, my dating has improved. I asked a gal out to dinner and she said, well, what do you look like? And I said, I look great. I look great. So there's some benefits to these masks.
There you go. Well, and it's a little bit awkward sometimes, but what I don't like about the mask is someone telling me to do it. I don't mind the mask as much
as... Well, wait a minute. You don't like being told what to do? This is shocking. We should have a news bulletin, music flashing.
I do not
Amazing.
Like being told what to do. Sometimes I'm in charge, but I always want to be in charge.
And you always get to pay the bills, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Gary, let's get right into the foundation part. By the way, I want to invite our listeners to call in, 840-1000. It's 405-840-1000. And, Mr. Gannon, when someone calls in, you're just going to have to flash at me because I think I don't have my little program up here.
Well, I'd like to answer some questions today if you have any.
Okay, well, I'm going to start. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. We know how long you've been in business, 46 years. What led you into this business?
A little old lady.
Okay.
She had a problem with her house, and she called me up, and I was in another business at that time. And she said she wanted me to take care of this problem, and I said, well, I've never done that before. And she started crying. So I went out and I looked at it and I fixed her house. Then I got another call and another. And so I started going to school and learning more about it. And went to the School of Mines up at Golden, Colorado. And They know what's going on underground, and they taught me a little bit. And been doing it ever since. Again, I was like 12 years old.
Yeah, there you go. I know, postgraduate at 12 years old.
Right.
So, and then you moved back to Oklahoma, or you're living in Oklahoma or whatever.
I was living in Oklahoma.
Yeah, and you just went to Colorado to go to school.
Right.
Okay. And what do you know about the soil and the composition of underground in Oklahoma?
Well, there's not a whole lot to know unless you get deeper, but we're dealing with a lot of clay soils. We have some sandy loams, and we have some sandy, and we have, of course, you get out to Guthrie area, we have a lot of rock and ironstone and that sort of thing, so it varies.
That's the problem, is it varies.
Yes.
Yet, we seem to build the same kind of foundation support under all the houses, no matter what the soil is.
It never changes. The contractors do seem to just stick with whatever soil's there. Though in some commercial buildings today, I am seeing where they go in and they pull out 6-7 foot of the fill, and they go in with a select material and they compact it, and it makes the building more stable.
We're doing that on a building we're building.
You are.
Yes.
Very good.
Except that I'm arguing with them because it's already too low from street level. I want, instead of digging out, I want them to just add this because it's never been built on before or anything. So it's not like it's fill at this point. So.
What area is it?
Yeah, 122nd and Council.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, you got clay over there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You could use it for molding sometimes when it rains.
Back when I was a smoker many years ago, my kids went out and were playing in the yard and got a bunch of clay together, and they made an ashtray, and they left it out in the sun, and I used that thing for as long as I smoked.
How funny, yeah.
And I could put it in the dishwasher, and it was perfect. So.
Yeah, baked in the sun. Now you probably have some native in you. Back in the day, they were making brick and doing stuff like that.
Yeah, that's right. We have our brick yards here, and they like our clay. And in some parts of the country, they don't use bricks for construction because they don't have the materials we have here. So there's some benefits to having a little clay around.
Well, we do have brickyards that bake their brick here.
Right.
So you went to the Colorado School of Mines, got educated, you came back, you started helping people and created a company. And the name of your company?
Crown Foundation.
And why did you call it Crown?
You know, it was so long ago, I don't remember.
Oh, because you were king of the road or something like
that.
Yeah,
we had a lot of little catchy phrases, but it was just something I think probably my kids came up with it.
Maybe so, yeah. Well, we're going to take a little break, but when we come back, I want you to answer for me, what types of foundations do you typically see in Oklahoma? Central Oklahoma, because that's where most of our business is, of course. And then what type of piers are used to fix a foundation if it has failed? So we're going to talk about that. So you guys prepared to be educated today. We'll return with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK.
And welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, Director of Operations and Buyer Agent for Movers Real Estate. We're here with Becky Ivins, broker-owner of Movers Real Estate, and Gary Thornton, owner of Crown Foundation, talking about foundations. And if you have a question, we'd invite you to call in at 840-1000, 840-1000. Gary, right before we went to break, Becky asked you what types of foundation that are found in the central Oklahoma area?
Well, we have the conventional type structures that have the wood floors and crawl spaces underneath. Most of them do. Some of them it's It's pretty tight to crawl, but there's an opening beneath the structure. And another one would be a slab on grade, and then you would have your, of course, your floating slabs, and that's where you've got a foundation, and then the sandy material is put in the center of the foundation. It's compacted, and then you pour a slab over it, and there's a keyway on the concrete stem walls that you've poured where you rest the slab, and so the keyway supports the slab. And then you have a monolithic pour. And a monolithic pour is where you pour the foundation and the footing all at one time. And I kind of don't like the monolithic pour in a lot of places. If I was going to use a monolithic pour, I think I'd call one of the forensic people in and have them test my soil and know what the capacity of the clays are for absorption of water. And because a lot of times the soils will heave in the center of the house, and you'll get a rising bow in the center of the foundation, and the exterior of the foundation is down, and it's where it's supposed to be. So
that people think that their house is settled on the outside when that happens.
Exactly.
And it's not at all the case. It bows up and heaves up in the middle.
You're absolutely correct. Well, you've done this before.
Well, I've listened to you a lot, but so far you have mentioned that we have what we call conventional flooring, which was a crawl space. It's built up with floor joists and stuff underneath the floor, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And usually that is set on concrete blocks.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So, and those were built up until the late 50s.
Yes.
And typically. Now, some of the upscale neighborhoods started going with a slab floor instead of a wood floor. In the mid-50s, like Belle Isle.
Right, and out at Midwest City, we have a lot of those.
Okay.
And they were practicing.
Yes. Practiced on Midwest City. Well, it could still use some help over there.
Well, they have some unique designs for their footings. Some of the designs, each room has its own foundation.
Well, Belle Isle, you find that, too.
Yes, yes.
And that's important to know when you start treating for termites, that you've got footings in the middle of your house.
Right, right. And also, it can create a major problem, because a lot of those footings, these builders were trying to build something unique, and they wanted to build it right. So they went deeper with their footings, and then when you come on to our time period, you go into these houses and you see where these walls are all cracked up because those footings are raising because of the pressures of the clays beneath it, the footings that the piers are in. So it starts lifting the house up. So there's a lot of fun when you have some of the old constructions. And in my business, it's fun to see it because it gives you a little history on as they learn to build a typical slab on grade construction.
And a slab on grade is just a slab on the ground?
Well, it has a very small foundation, and it can have a small foundation. It could have footing, and the it saves money. They use a pier and beam type construction. They have a shallow foundation beam. And they go in with shallow piers, and then they pour the piers and the foundation together. But it was typical of the construction back in the latter 70s and 80s, but there was a lot of problems with those.
Well, they were too big of a hurry to build more houses back
then.
They
were building apartment complexes. Did they use the same thing in apartment complexes? And, man, I won't just say any names, but there was one apartment complex I put over 400 piers in.
Wow.
And it was all because it was built in 1978. So we've had some bad times in our foundations and some good times, but it's made us a living every day. So we have something to go do.
So like when we built my house, We had a...
And you have a beautiful home.
Thank you. But I noticed I might need Gary to come out on one part of it, actually, because I've got a door sticking. And so, of course, that lets me know I better be checking the rest of my house. But on the other side of the house, you know how on the sides of a garage, how it'll roll out?
Yes.
It hasn't rolled out yet, but I've got a crack where it looks like it's about to roll out on my garage side. So I'll call you and have you come look at it, because I don't want it to be damaged before I do anything. I'd rather stabilize it.
Stabilize it, yes.
Yeah.
And one of the problems that we're having right now is all this moisture in the ground. The moisture is uplifting a lot of the foundations and the slabs. And as it uplifts, it fractures a beam. Mm-hmm. And then we don't notice it until then we get a drought and the house settles.
So, okay. So,
we better look at it.
Yeah, I want you to look at it. So we have no cracks on the inside yet, so that's good news.
You're the only one I know that has a chandelier in her bathroom.
And boy, what a chandelier it is, too, right? And why have you been in my bathroom, Gary?
Well, I was.
We're not even going to talk about it.
No, it wasn't all that bad.
We had a Christmas party, and I just redone my kitchen and bathroom and my downstairs. And so everyone got to come see in my bathroom. And I do have quite the chandelier. Kara Pasley is the designer that helped me design my remodel, my redecoration,
basically.
I met
her. Very, very nice person.
She's awesome, isn't she?
Yes, and I think I'm probably going to call her to look at my home
when I get ready to remodel. You would be a wise man to do that.
And I might do that.
Have your budget handy so that she knows how much money you've got to spend, because she may turn around and go out, Gary.
Sounds like some women that I used to date.
There you go.
They always wanted to look in my pocketbook and see if it was going to be worthwhile for them.
Okay. Well, we're talking about different types of foundations, and that's pretty much it, right? The monolithic pour, where everything's, my office is a monolithic pour. And then you've got the pier on grade.
Yeah, pier and grade.
Pier and grade.
Pier and beam, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then slab on grade, basically.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
And the conventional.
So, okay. Well, we've got a caller that has a question. Good morning, Judy.
Everyone.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Do you have a question for Gary?
I do. Should I be overly concerned about the cracks that I see in the garage or on the sidewalk or the patio? I know everybody gets them, but at what point should I be concerned?
Well, the garages have a tendency to their floors crack, and you'll see movement in the garages, and the sidewalks are the same way because of the soil conditions, expansion and contraction of the soil, the raising and lowering of the concrete. And that's, the garage system is built a little bit different than the rest of your house, so it can have a problem on the floor, whereas the rest of your house wouldn't. So I wouldn't worry about it a whole lot unless the walls are beginning to crack in the garage or you're having cracks in the walls inside the structure.
Okay.
But if it heaves up in the middle of the garage and starts cracking big time and you have lots of differential heights, like one side of it's an inch lower than the other or higher, then, I mean, I know there's different fixes on that.
Right. Sometimes you can go in there and you can inject it and float up the sides of the foundation to kind of balance it. Sometimes you may have to pull it out and repour it. So
right, which sometimes is the cheapest thing to do, just to put. And the garage floor is poured after the foundation and the slab and everything, right?
Yes, it is. And a lot of times it's not resting on a ledge for support. It's just resting on the soil, on the sand that they use to prepare the footings. And it will sometimes move, and the garage just doesn't have the integrity the rest of the house does.
And then I am going to tell you how to contact Dean Riddell right after this news break with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move.
Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're here with Gary Thornton, the owner of Crown Foundations, talking about foundations. So if you have a call or question for Gary, call in at 840-1000. And Becky, we're going to go back to Judy with a question, right?
Yes. Well, at first, before Judy, and thank you for hanging on, Judy, but I kind of rushed Dean Riddell. So sorry, folks. Let me tell you how to contact him. It is, of course, 405. We're in central Oklahoma. It's 405-858-7770. Always to find any of my favorite people that I work with, just go to BeckyIvins.com. When you go to BeckyIvins.com, you will find a tab that says favorites. And that's exactly what they are. They are my favorite people. Gary's one of my favorite folks.
Thank you, Becky.
Yeah, well, I mean, my you're one of my favorite people and favorite companies. How's that?
I'm glad somebody likes me.
Yeah, there you go. Dean does have unbelievable interest rates. So if you're on the internet searching before you punch the button, deciding you want to blast out into space or where whatever company you're thinking about, call Dean Riddell, 858-7770, because he will put it together for you.
He's very nice.
He's a great guy,
yeah,
isn't
very
he?
Very nice fella.
And a pro in his business, just like you are, Gary. Judy, thank you for hanging on.
Certainly.
Did we sort of answer some of your question?
Absolutely. Yes, we did.
Okay. You had talked about sidewalks and patios, yes. Right? You wanted to know, should you be concerned, and when should you be concerned when those crack?
Right.
What?
Yes.
You're looking for there is voids that are created, like the weather that we're having now with all these torrential rains are eroding beneath driveways, beneath sidewalks, beneath foundations. And if you see a lot of sand coming out from under your sidewalks or at the base of the street where your driveway intersects the street, or if you see any voids, or if you have any hollow-sounding spaces underneath your concrete, it says that you've probably lost your support base, and you should probably inject it and put that support back under the whatever the problem would be, and to support it. So that's what I would look for on the outside, under sidewalk. Now, patios settle quite often, and it's a pretty simple process, raising the patio and stabilizing it. So sometimes we have to use a combination of piers and injection, but we save patios a lot of times.
Well, and sometimes a patio will crack just because of a tree root or something, because they're usually about 4 inches thick, aren't they?
Yes, yeah. No footings, 4 inches thick, poured on grade.
Folks tend to build in patios, not realizing there's no footing around the edge of that slab.
And no steel in
No rebar or anything in the patio. So they build these big walls on top, heavy walls,
yes,
and wonder why it cracks, the patio cracks.
I see that all the time, Becky.
I do, too. because patios are simply a slab of concrete about 4 inches thick. They are not typically attached to the house. They're just poured next to the house, right?
Right, right.
So if you see a crack in a patio, it doesn't mean you got foundation issues. And if you question that, just call Gary because he'll come out and check it for you.
Be sure and ask for me if your listeners have a problem, or if you have a problem, Judy, just be sure and call and ask for Gary, and I'll get out and look at it for you.
Sure. And I mean, you know, Gary has, there's other folks that work at that company and a lot of them.
Yeah, but I'm the prettiest one.
Yeah, ask for him since he's the prettiest one. He's the guy with all the knowledge, so do ask for Gary. Gary has said for my clients or for my radio listeners, he'll come out himself instead of sending somebody else. So that's good. Judy, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you, Judy.
Well, thank you.
If anyone else wants to call, it's 840-1000. It's 405-840-1000. It is time for our word of the day, brought to you by another one of my favorites, Robbins Roofing. Robbins Roofing, their word every day is trust. You can trust them to handle your whole insurance claim, fix a small repair. I just had them fix a very small repair on a duplex we own in Norman. And Gary went up there himself. I mean, Gary. No, Gary, you did not.
I'm not getting up
on the roof. You're not getting on a roof.
I'll get under, but not up.
You're the foundation.
You're
not
the foundation.
Roof.
Okay.
Yeah. I keep 2 feet on the ground.
But Larry Robbins will go up there and check that out.
And he's a nice guy.
He's a great Very guy, nice. Isn't he? And yes. I love his wife, Jennifer. But I really trust what they say about a roof. They're not going to tell you you need a new roof if you don't need one. They're going to tell you the best way to handle it and give you choices of your materials. They don't give you a whole lot of choice when it comes to some valleys on the north side of your house, because they're going to put ice and water shield on those because they want to protect your house, and that is the way to stop that. Icicles hanging in your attic.
I hate it when that happens.
I know. Big old icicles hanging in your attic, and then they drip and start going down a wall and ruining the sheetrock, and the light fixture falls. I mean, I've seen all this.
Man.
I'm like the insurance guy. We've seen a thing or two. So call Robbins Roofing, 728-3700. 728-3700. My friend, my roofer, Larry Robbins. Okay, so we're talking about foundations. How about piers to correct the foundations? Oh, wait a minute.
Was that our word of the day, is piers?
Nope. Our word of the day today, are you ready? Thank you for keeping me on track, Mark. How about void? Void. That's a good word.
That's that can be used.
Leaves you with an empty feeling, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, a void, I mean, it's basically an empty space with absolutely nothing in it.
Yes.
And voids are good at times. If you have a brand new hard drive, you want a lot of empty space. Void. However, if you have a house, you don't want a void under that house.
No, you do not, Becky.
Okay.
Your foundation footing, your floor slab has to have a support beneath it, and generally it's a soil support. Some foundations have, of course, the piers, but you have to have a support beneath the concrete, because concrete has the capability of withstanding a lot of load as long as you have a void, as long as you have a material underneath the foundation to help the concrete work. But a void, you can get a lot of settling, because the load builds up to the point on the structure when there's a void that you get a fracture someplace, and that's where the settling begins. So you have to, you want to, if you've got dogs digging next to the house, it'd be cool in the summertime. If you have water running beneath the house or concrete or driveway or sidewalks or patios, you want to stop that. Take some type of corrections to prevent the water from getting beneath that concrete.
Do you know, I went out on to do a check on a rental property that I manage for some folks. And I was fine until I got into the backyard. Everything was, they'd kept everything so nice inside. Mark, you were with me that day. And then I go to the patio, and there's this big step off the patio, because there's a void under the patio. But it's on a hill, and it's just washed out. and around these tree roots are kind of exposed because the dirt around it, and it was more of a sandy soil than it was clay, and it just kind of washed out. So, I mean, we've got to deal with the yard to start with, and we're going to pack in some clay in there, call the yard guy and have him bring in some clay to pack around everything to stop it. But there's not as much grass because there's a lot of big trees. So the sun doesn't get to the grass. So,
and of course, they want to keep the trees because that's the beauty of the property, right?
Yes. Well, the trees probably could use to be trimmed up so that a little bit more sunlight could get to. If you have a tall canopy on your trees, the sunlight can get to most of your yard at least a portion of the day.
I was raised in the middle of the Olympic Forest.
Really?
And yeah. Up in Washington State, yeah, in the Olympic Peninsula area. And it was very rustic. We had a tree farm. We had a lot of canopies over our farm, so there wasn't much mowing to do.
Yeah.
And but my dad found ways to keep me busy.
I bet he did.
Yeah. I think I started swinging an axe from the time I was about three, and a two-man crosscut saw, and I was the only guy on it because my brother was lazy.
Oh. So, well, tell me, what are the types of piers you use most to support a foundation?
We can use helical piers, and helical piers are the type of piers that you more or less drill them into the ground. They have a helix that is designed so when you twist it, it sets itself like a screw, and it just pulls itself into the ground. You use this type of piering system if you have a light foundation or if you're trying to lift a patio or something light. And then you have the vertical steel pier that is driven in under pressure, and you're using the repose value of the for load of the foundation. So you're pushing off the foundation to drive that pier in the ground. And you can do it that way because the foundation in a lot of cases will take the stress. And then you have, of course, the concrete piers, and which we've had forever. And then you have the piers that were segmented and pushed into the ground, and we don't seem to have a lot of luck with that in this country.
Segmented piers. I haven't even heard of a segmented pier.
Yeah, we have had a company here at one time, and it's got a concrete pier that is a round pier, concrete, has a hole in the middle, and you drive one block on top of the other. The block's about 18 inches long.
I've seen those.
Yes.
Okay, so it's basically a block pier as opposed to you just stack blocks on top of each other.
Right. The problem with that pier is that if you put that pier in the summertime, because you've got almost a 9-inch diameter base on it, you're pushing against these clays that have been hardened because of the sun, so you get no depth on them. And then here comes the rains, and the soils loosen up, and the clays loosen up, and that foundation settles because the block is settling.
So why do some piers work and some piers not work in different applications? You're going to hear about that right after we return with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK.
Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, and we're here with the one and only Gary Thornton from Crown Foundation, and I hope you have been taking notes. I have. It's been just fantastic, all the information, the wealth of knowledge.
Gary, we got to fit in the next 4 or 5 minutes, the different types of piers. You've talked about the helical pier. Those are usually in the middle of the house.
Well, we use them underneath floors, walls inside the house, and lightweight pier and beam foundations where we can't use a regular pier because the foundation wouldn't take the reverse stress and you'd have fractures. So there we would use a helical because you do not have to have the repose value of the structure to load up the pier so you can drive it. It's self-driving. And I was going to say another thing. We do sometimes you need a unique pier. You need something to fit the bell, and what you have in your toolbox may not quite fit the bell. It may a helical pier may not work, and a vertical hydraulically driven pier may not work. So we have to design unique piers to work for that particular type of a problem. And we're very capable. We have a shop. We have the ability to build what we need to support a structure. Sometimes we have to run a beam underneath a structure of steel to support it because the foundation is too weak to do anything else with. So we have to beef it up so we can put helical piers under it.
Gary, the question I have, and I get asked all this all the time when we're walking around a house with buyers, is should that crack that they see on the outside of the home or this particular crack on the inside concern them? When does a crack become concerning to call you?
Well, if you're selling the house and you see a crack in the house, even the smallest crack may be a concern. Usually the engineers and inspectors here use 3/8 of an inch of movement spacing on the crack to consider it a problem. But when you're selling a house, if you have movement around a window or a corner or something, you have to take that into consideration for a repair.
Gary, we've got a caller that's been very patient hanging on that has a question for you. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning. Quick question. My son-in-law is putting 300 square foot of patio in the back of his house. Anything particular he should do to, I mean, what should he do in order to make it stable?
Is there a slope at the back of the house?
Slightly, yes.
Slight slope. He can just make sure there's steel in it, thicken the pour at the edge of the patio, and.
Rebarb? What I mean, chicken wire or real rebarb or what?
Well, I like rebar. I like to put rebar in it. I put rebar in on 12-inch centers on a patio, and I just feel more comfortable with that.
So you lay them out on 12-inch centers and then just kind of wire them together?
Yes.
And prop them up a little bit, a couple of inches, so that they're in the middle of the slab?
Yes, so you incorporate it into the slab.
And then pour thicker corners. And real thick corners and thick edges.
Yes. That'll beef it up. It works good.
Craig,
thank you so much.
If you want to call and talk to Gary, Gary's number is 721-5155. 721-5155. Give us a call.
Call and ask for me. I'll get back with you.
Yeah, call and ask for Gary because he'll talk to you personally. My number, 722-3232. I want to hear from at least two of you this week. We'll be right back next week. Same time, same place, 8:00. Tune in. Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK.